Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios today. And now we go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike Wilson joins us from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, thanks for joining us. How are we doing this morning?
Did we lose Mike?
I think we lost Mike. I think Nick's efforting him. Well, the Tennessee Volunteers lost to the unranked Florida Gators last night, Junie, 67-54. Wanted to talk to Mike about, you know, this Tennessee Volunteers team has a huge ranked win over the weekend against Texas. College game day was in town. They rose to the occasion. They handled Texas the entire time. And then they go on the road, a weeknight game, start off slow last night, and are playing catch-up the entire game. Halftime score was 40-33. They're playing catch-up the entire game. They're able to get a little bit of a lead, and then Florida really just takes it home, 67-54, the final score. This Tennessee Volunteers team just can't seem to consistently get the wins that they need to, right? The Kentucky win. Listen, I know I'm happy. I know I'm a fan. But clearly the Tennessee Volunteers team is better than that Kentucky team right now, right? When their guards aren't hot, aren't shooting well from the field, nobody else can step up. And that, I think, is the biggest problem with this team. And actually, I was going to ask Mike, he wrote an article on the game last week about, you know, about they need somebody else who can step up and take over a game when need be. And I think that that's the biggest problem with this Tennessee Volunteers team.
No, and I definitely agree. I mean, they scored 20 points below their season average. They were shooting 28% from the field. And it never seemed like when they would go on a little bit of a run that they could sustain it and then take that lead from Florida. And listen, I grew up watching college basketball, you know, in the state of Kentucky, watching a lot of Kentucky and Louisville basketball, and I know that even when Kentucky would go down to Florida, it's always a tough place to play. But the fact of the matter is Tennessee just came off likely their best win of the season, you know, beating Texas.
Yeah, and Junie, it looks like we have Mike Wilson. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, thank you for joining us. Sorry about the little phone issues there for a second.
No problem.
Well, Mike, we were just discussing, you know, the loss in Gainesville last night. The Gators take the win 67-54. Tennessee Volunteers coming off a huge win against Texas over the weekend. What do you think was the problem with this Vols team last night? You know, you saw them kind of start off slow. They had a bunch of turnovers. What is the fan base feeling like today? Have you been able to gauge anything from social media? And do you think this is going to be a problem for this Vols team as we head, you know, closer to March, closer to tournament time?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee basically let Florida do to it what it typically does to other teams, mm-hmm. which is go on big runs. That kill shot phrase that they get thrown around, kind of those 10-0 runs, which Tennessee has consistently hit teams with those and not given them up. They gave up two of those last night with a 15-0 run really early and then a 13-0 run after they took the lead in the second half, and they just didn't have enough to come back from the second one. Florida really dominated the final 10 minutes. And, yeah, I mean, Tennessee is built to – you know, if they give up 55 points a game, they're going to win most of these games because that's what their defense does. Their defense didn't do that last night, and their offense wasn't able to make up for it. And that's an unfortunate Achilles heel of this team because that's very much what we saw with the Kentucky loss as well. You can go back to Michigan last year in the NCAA tournament, similar story there as well. When three-pointers aren't going down for Tennessee and they aren't scoring in other ways, they're in rough shape when those things happen.
We got Mike Wilson on with us from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, when you see guys like Zakai Ziegler, 6 for 19, Vescovi, 2 for 12, Josiah James, 2 for 11, do you think that this Tennessee team has another guy who can take over a game when those three guys aren't hot or shooting well from the three?
Yeah, I mean, I think what was tough is they took good shots. I think – you know, there's a Twitter account called Shot Quality that kind of tracks which team should have won the game. They said Tennessee should have won last night. based on the shots that were taken, and just typically what their averages come out to, what Florida's averages come out to, and so on. But to the point of scoring, Julian Phillips needs to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Barnes said after the game, they need somebody else, and that's Julian Phillips. He had 6 points last night. He took 4 shots in 30 minutes. And in a game like that where the other team is playing aggressive defense, Tennessee doesn't have a lot of break you down off the dribble guys. Zakai Ziegler is that. Julian Phillips is their next best bet. He's Tennessee's best bet to get to the free throw line. He's a guy that can create his own shot. That's not really Santiago Vescovi or Josiah Jordan James' strength. They're more spot up guys, get open in the offense and take good shots guys. I think Julian Phillips is that answer. They do need more from Tyreek Key as well. He has 1 point in the last two games total. Something I kind of looked at last night was they've only had 4 players scoring double figures the last 4 games, and it's the 4 you expect. Olivia Kamwa, Josiah, Santi, and Zakai.
Mm-hmm.
Julian Phillips needs to be in that mix. Tyreek Key needs to give more, especially in a game where you saw what Florida did in terms of running Tennessee's guards off the perimeter. They need those other guys to give them more offense than they did last night.
We got Mike Wilson on with us from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, you see some of this inconsistency as far as, you know, shooting from this Tennessee team. How concerning is that, you know, with the teams that you've seen this Tennessee team beat this year? They've beaten Kansas, you know, they've gone head-to-head with Arizona. They've been able to beat, you know, some of the best teams in the country. They are one of the best teams in the country, 18-4, 7-2 in the conference. But on nights when they have, you know, a Zakai not shooting well or a Vescovi not shooting well, they don't have that one guy they can go to take over a game. How concerning do you think that is for you? Should that be for the team and the fan base as they head into the postseason? And then, of course, just, of course, the chatter just surrounding Rick Barnes and his record in March.
Yeah, I mean, it is a flaw of this Tennessee team. They're not as consistent offensively as people want them to be. They have been the same way in seasons past, but they've also avoided those droughts that I mentioned last night with Florida. They've had fewer of those droughts this year than they did last year. You saw more of those 5-minute field goal droughts last year than you've seen this year. But I think there's a narrative around it that they're just as consistent as last year because that's something that was so annoying for fans with last year's team. But yeah, I mean, the stats show that Tennessee isn't having as many of those issues. They had a lot of them last night, though. And that is concerning because that's what happens in March. In March, you have one bad game, you're done. That's what makes that tournament probably the hardest thing to win in college sports, is you have one bad game against the wrong team, whereas one player get hot, you're done for the season. And Tennessee saw that last year with Hunter Dickinson hitting threes, Olivia Kamwa being injured, the hook shot from, oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name, from Michigan, Eli Brooks.
Eli Brooks.
Late in the game. I mean, just crazy things happen in March, and Tennessee is a little bit susceptible to those things because if their offense isn't hitting and another team gets hot, Tennessee is not exactly built to beat you with offense. Even though they showed they can do it against Texas, they're not always consistently able to do that when those three-pointers aren't going down.
Mike, at what stage of the tournament does this Tennessee Volunteers, with the talent that they have, they're one of the best defensive teams in the entire country. What level of the tournament, whether it's the Sweet 16, whether it's the Elite Eight or Final Four, does this team need to get to for Tennessee Volunteer fans to feel like it was a success?
I mean, I don't know. I think this team should be in the second weekend, but after that, I mean, the NCAA tournament is all about matchups. Like, you can talk about the level of talent on a team all you want and what it should be, but at the end of the day, until you see a bracket, it's really hard to know what's going to happen for any team's fate. I mean, look at Tennessee last year. Tennessee was in the Final Four conversation last year as a 3 seed. Michigan as an 11 was a hard draw. That was an incredibly talented Michigan team. It was a really hard matchup for Tennessee with 2 5-stars in the wings and a 7-foot guy on the inside, where that's Tennessee's weakness, was guarding in the post, especially with, again, Olivia Kamwa injured. So it's hard to look and say those things. I mean, it really truly is kind of a crapshoot to some extent when you look at March. The number of coaches who have consistent, steady success year in and year out in March is not a long list. I don't know. But this, to me, has to be a second weekend team. But you would have said the same thing about last year's team as well. And you probably would have said the same thing about the team that lost to Loyola. So, yeah, I mean, you expect teams to enter the season ranked number 11. and reach the top five in the rankings consistently to be in the second weekend just based on that alone.
It's why we love March, right, Mike? The Vols have Auburn coming up on Saturday. They just had a tough loss to West Virginia. They're now 25th in the AP poll. But, Mike, looking forward to seeing you in Nashville soon for the SEC tournament. Thanks so much for hopping on with us today, and have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problem. That was Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Covers the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team and football team. Coming up next, fans, we want to hear what you think, Volunteer fans, and your thoughts on Rick Barnes. Where do they have to get to in the tournament where you'll be satisfied with a run in March? Coming up next, I'm Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
That's going to do it. Chop this one up for the Gators. Florida stuns number 2, Tennessee. 67-54 is the final score.
Florida Gators take down the Tennessee Volunteers 67-54 in Gainesville last night. The number 2 Tennessee Volunteers. We just had Mike Wilson on discussing this Tennessee Volunteers basketball team. They've had some great wins, but when people are cold, when some of the guards are cold, they can't seem to figure out a way to get a win, an unranked Florida team as well. Welcome back into Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today, tomorrow, and Junie and I will be live on Saturday from 9 to 11 as well. We got Nick Kieser. We are all live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. If you want to weigh in on our conversation right now, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I know we've got a lot of Tennessee Volunteers fans out there, and especially as you know, the basketball season, we're heavy in conference play. The Tennessee Volunteers are going to play Auburn this Saturday with Bruce Pearl, former Tennessee Volunteers head coach. The Auburn Tigers lost to West Virginia in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Big 12 really dominated that SEC Challenge. It was 7-3. So Tennessee was one of the winners. They had a huge win over 10th-ranked Texas. But then last night, unfortunately, you know, they fall to an unranked Florida team in Gainesville. And that's been one of the, I guess you could say, worries about this Tennessee team, Junie. And Robbie Stanley, we know he's a Vols fan. We know him and I battle with our SEC rivalries. But, you know, he talked about watching last night's game made him feel like, okay, I'm just going to not expect anything, you know, as we head towards postseason play, to head towards tournament play, because some of the things he saw in last night's game were similar to the things he saw when they lost to Michigan last year in the tournament, such as certain guys just not being able to get anything going offensively and then not having that one superstar or one great guard on the team who's able to, you know, create shots, create some offense for the team and kind of get things going.
And I think Robbie's sentiment on this is kind of the pulse of the Tennessee fan base. I mean, I remember being in Chicago when Loyola of Chicago beat Tennessee in the round of 32, and they ended up making their magical run to the Final Four. I mean,
shout out Sister Jean.
Right? Is she still kicking?
I don't know.
But either way, I mean, this Tennessee Volunteers fan base is just sick and tired of having all the potential in the world, having really good regular seasons. You know, last year they won the SEC tournament going in. They seemed like a really red-hot team.
Which was historic, winning the SEC tournament, you know, historic for the basketball program, you know?
Because usually, I mean, the conference, you know, since I've been watching college basketball, has been run through Kentucky and Florida primarily for me.
Yep.
So, you know, Tennessee getting back in the mix with Rick Barnes. I mean, it's big for this program to start winning again like they have been the last couple years. But, you know, you see the woes, the lack of offensive production when it comes down to March. I mean, you see the teams that can put up crazy offensive numbers, that can hit the big shots, that have guys that can take over games. And that's what has Vols fans super concerned. You know, this team's great defensively, but when you have an off night defensively like they did last night against Florida, you know, they're susceptible to losing big games to a lesser talented team.
Well, and the Tennessee team has one of the best defenses in college basketball as a whole. I mean, clearly, they're ranked two in the country right now, right behind Purdue. Purdue is, they have a guy who's 7'5 on the team. Mm-hmm. Think about that, Jenny. I want you to put this into perspective for a second. He is 2 feet taller than me. 2 feet!
Yeah, I mean, that's Yao Ming height. Yao Ming was like, what, 7'6"? So yeah, having 7'5 in college basketball, whether you're the most talented guy or not, is a huge advantage. But I pulled up this. I saw ESPN stats and info on Twitter. Number two Tennessee lost to Florida, becoming the 10th different AP top two school to lose this season. That's already the most different top two teams to lose in a season in AP poll history.
I love it.
So, you know, I mean, I think that's good for college basketball. You know, there's so many upsets, mm-hmm. and it really kind of keeps you hanging on your feet. And I just think when you look at the way this sport is set up, it's unlike any other. Mm-hmm. It really can be, you know, St. Peter's going into the NCAA tournament and making a deep run when that's a school nobody's ever heard of. I mean, you can really catch fire in this game and really knock off anybody. And I think that if the Tennessee Volunteers don't get their scoring woes in some of these games down, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. I mean, you had your best win of the season against Texas, only to go off that hype, go down to Gainesville, and get absolutely smacked by an average Florida team.
Well, and we have a texter on the text line. Allie in Bellevue texted in, and she said, I asked if Vols football, basketball, or baseball wins a natty first. Not many would predict basketball. And I will say to that, you know, and I think Mike Wilson did a great job of, you know, explaining that when we talked to him, because there's a lot around Rick Barnes and his coaching, a great college basketball coach, and for that matter, paid like a coach who does a lot in the postseason, which has not been true for him in his coaching career. Has had some great teams at Texas, has had some great teams as of recent here with Tennessee, but the storyline continues of not being able to, you know, make it to that elite round, that Elite Eight round, or Final Four, Sweet 16 round, which is almost like the camel on his back, because I feel like once he does it with this Tennessee team, it's like they finally, okay, we got it, right? But what is it going to take? Is it going to be a Final Four to take the, you know, Tennessee fan base to think, okay, finally? Because it's really hard, and especially the way, the amount of games in the short amount of time at the end of a season that you have to win in a row, you know, you add on travel and you add on the pressure and nobody has home court advantage and just the crazy Cinderella stories of March. I mean, I would say this is the toughest thing to win.
I would say so as well. And to go back to the texter's question about, you know, baseball, basketball, or football, who is most likely to win? I would agree with the texter. I think basketball would be my last choice. I mean, Tony Vitello and the baseball team last year was consistently the number one team in the nation. Mm-hmm. They ran through the SEC tournament, and you know they you know slipped up in the tournament. But I think that they're going to be back this upcoming year. You know what Josh Heupel did with the football team this year. I mean, their you know one bad loss at South Carolina away from with the playoffs expanding, I think they are for sure going to be in that conversation year in and year out for the next 3 or 4 years at least. Mm-hmm. With the recruiting classes that they have coming in. But yeah, no, baseball and football are in a really good area. This basketball team is super talented, but we can't say that they're more likely to do it because the NCAA tournament is the hardest tournament, number one, to go far in. And number two, we've seen very talented Tennessee teams, you know, mess up in the earlier rounds and not make it to the Elite Eight.
But that's what I think is just the best part about March and the postseason. And the SEC tournament will be here in Nashville this year, so all the teams will be coming to town. We'll see if Tennessee can two-peat or repeat. I keep saying two-peat, even though it's just repeat. I don't know why. I just like it better. But let's see if Tennessee can repeat and, you know, we can keep having this discussion about Rick Barnes in the postseason, but honestly, they just have to do it. The team just has to do it.
And I'm speaking for Vols fans. I think that they at least have to make it to the Elite Eight this year. With how talented this team is, I know that they don't have one superstar that can just light it up on the scoreboard, but collectively how good defensively they are and how they can get on a hot streak, I think that the bar has to be at least the Elite Eight if they're going to be a one or two seed in this tournament, which I think you and I can agree they're going to be in the conversation for a one or two seed.
I mean, they have a one seed resume and continue to build it if they continue on this path for the rest of the season. But coming up next, we're going to switch the conversation, talk a little Tennessee Titans and something that they have new coming up this season. You're listening to Chase Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in Chase and Michelle. I'm Michelle Knezovic. Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kieser. We are all live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical studios this morning. And if you want to watch us streaming, you can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sportsbook. Also, text us in 615-737-1025 or call us. We're taking texts and calls on anything right now, but specifically we're talking about the Tennessee Titans and them making a switch. They announced this just a couple days ago that the Tennessee Titans will be replacing the grass in Nissan Stadium with Matrix Helix Turf with organic fill that will provide players with a consistent playing experience year-round. So this has been a big discussion among NFL players, among the NFL as a whole, just football in general, of turf versus grass. And a lot of players have spoken out, Cooper Kupp being one of them. OBJ has spoken out a lot on, you know, we need to play on grass. We see a lot of these turf injuries with ACLs and the turf moving and being players are more injury prone when playing on turf. But, you know, you're also playing the game of football, and injuries can be tied to, you know, a lot of other things. But when I saw this report that the Tennessee Titans would be switching from grass to a turf, that they already have this specific turf in their indoor practice facility at the Tennessee Titans organization, so the players have already played on it before. So it's not that different, and it will have that consistency of, you know, playing in their indoor facility and then also in their stadium, but they still have the grass fields when they are practicing outside. But a light bulb went off in my head when I saw that this report came out, because I was listening to the Derrick Henry episode of Bussin' with the Boys, you know, a couple weeks prior. So this episode came out before any of this turf news came out. And I'll just let you listen to the conversation. Here's a little clip of it. Was Taylor Lewan and Derrick Henry discussing, you know, turf in general, their playing experiences on it. Here's that clip.
What are your thoughts on playing on turf fields?
Man, it's
you share the same sentiment as like you
I got hurt on turf fields, so you know how I feel about it. There's been so many injuries that's happened on turf fields. I mean, it's just proven it. I mean, it's not really good for the league and, you know, for our bodies. You ask any player in the league about turf, they're just like, it's not gonna be an automatic answer. They're gonna think about it, be like nah. And there's so many people that's been like, get rid of turf fields. That, you know, I think it's a time where it's all play on grass.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's the NFL, so it's all about business. So you telling me, you know, how owners probably think, you telling me I got to pay you and then pay to keep the field going, rather I can just put turf out, have a football game, but I got to maintenance the field, which I know is probably a headache, but at the end of the day, players are the ones that, you know, bring.
If your best players get hurt, you're not going to have
the NFL is going to push the we're all about player safety.
So that was on Bussin' with the Boys, Derrick Henry, Taylor Lewan, and also Will Compton having a discussion about turf fields compared to grass fields. The discussion went on for a couple minutes. Can't play the whole thing on here, but you know they talked about Taylor Lewan earlier in the 2021 season when they played up in Seattle the second week of the season. I don't know if you remember this, Junie, but it was in practice and or like warming up before the game, and he kind of tweaked it or hyperextended his knee or something like that. They went on to mention that scenario. They went on to mention they had a former Bengals player on the podcast who was on the Bengals team last year when they went to the Super Bowl, and they talked about how, you know, they were walking the field in L.A. before the Super Bowl, and they were pointing out areas on the turf, you know, to be careful from. And then what did we see happen in that game with Odell Beckham Jr. tearing his ACL? So what are your thoughts just in general on grass to turf fields, or your first reaction when you saw the Titans announce this?
So where I come from in Louisville, you know, the sport I played in high school was lacrosse. And in Kentucky, not a lot of public school teams have lacrosse teams. So I had a mixture between playing public and private schools. All the private schools had turf, and all the public schools had grass. And I can tell you the difference is, especially for somebody who's had issues like with the health of their feet and how much of a difference it actually does make. So think about it this way. When you're playing on turf, when they go up and uproot a field and make it into turf, they do a concrete slab. Turf in general is a lot thinner, and with those little,
turf nuggets.
I call them turf turds. but yeah, like the cut up tires. It's a lot harder and it's a lot thinner. When you're actually on grass and the soil is under the grass, number one, grass is thicker, so it's a lot more padded on the feet. It's easier to plant. It's easier to dig in. And especially, I know we saw this in an NFL game one time. I think it was a Jets game in New York, where like part of the end zone got uplifted on the turf, and they had to bring in and like restitch it and put the little turf turds back in there and like kind of redo the field because somebody like slid, and where the turf was connected, it got uprooted, and you could see the concrete under it. And it's It is a big difference. And listen, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert with this new synthetic fancy pants, you know, turf that they're implementing, but there better be a lot of data, because I don't understand why Nashville is such an awkward climate zone when other teams in like northern regions where it gets a lot colder are still using grass in outdoor stadiums.
So MetLife actually is a grass stadium, so it probably was another one that you saw probably in the Northeast or something, but they are also making the change to a turf stadium that they announced in November earlier this year. And so this new turf stadium or turf field that the Tennessee Titans are going to implement in Nissan Stadium, so it's almost like a hybrid of turf and then somewhat grass. It's this new technology for it that they don't have, I guess, the little turf nuggets. And I guess it's more of like an infill that could relate. Listen, I'm not going to pretend like I know what like the ins and outs of, you know, this turf field. But, you know, just from reading the article that Jim Wyatt wrote, that it's going to be just like a hybrid in between the two. But, you know, that was a very candid conversation from the Tennessee Titans franchise player and his views on turf before any of these reports came out. And I just thought it was really interesting, because it's been an issue with players and teams over the years. And I guess the only problem that I have is not by these individual teams. It's by the NFL. It's by, you know, the big wigs up top who preach, you know, player safety in and out. But then just be honest and say, hey, grass fields are just really, really hard to keep up with. And then, you know, when you get to the winter and they ice, and then by the time the Music City Bowl comes here to Nashville in Nissan Stadium, like, it's completely wrecked. It's muddy. They slide. Just be honest about it, you know. Or be honest of the fact of, yeah, we've seen the statistics, but, you know, to be able to have a ready field every week. Or Arizona and Las Vegas have its turf and then roll out grass above it or something like that. They have both.
I'm not necessarily familiar with what Arizona does, but here's the one thing. You know, Derrick Henry going on the podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, you know, if he wanted...
That was about 2 months ago.
And I get that, but again, if they already have this turf in the facility, why wouldn't he have already brought that up? Be like, you know, regular turf, you know, the old-fashioned turf that, you know, most NFL stadiums have is not what I like. But the turf that we have in our indoor facility, I would love it if we transitioned to that. No, he didn't say that. He said, I like playing on grass. And I really do think that this is more of a money thing. And not having to maintain the grass. And I also think it's the Tennessee Titans trying to deflect and put some blame on why they've had so many injuries on their team the last couple years, and that they're trying to transition to something that's going to limit the injuries. Do you think that that might have something to do with it?
I think you're not the only person I've heard, you know, draw a parallel to that. I personally don't, because, I mean, they only play at Nissan Stadium 8 times a year, 9 times a year, right? You know, the majority of their work is done at their practice facility where they have grass, and then they also have this turf in their indoor. So personally, you know, I don't think that. I think what it is it comes down to they're probably going to have that in their new facility in 2026 because it's going to be a dome. It's what a lot of other teams are doing. And plus, it's just the maintenance too, right? I mean, by the time – I remember the Purdue-Tennessee football game, Music City Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And they were sliding all over the place. When you get into postseason play and the winter months – I know Nashville doesn't get as bad of winters that the Northeast does, but, I mean – the field is – it's hard to play on.
But could it be the mixture? Because, I mean, we've seen it here even this year. I mean, how many times has it been 1 week we're in the 30s, and then the following week we're in the 60s and 70s? Does the rapid change of temperature have something to do with maintaining the field? That's something that I would be curious about too. Is it just the fact that, like, you know, when you're up in the Northeast, you can kind of expect, like, hey, it's going to be nice and warm around this time of year. And then once it hits the winter months, it's going to be cold, and you can adjust and adapt to maintaining your grass field in that way. Or, you know, is it just that they're trying to play the safe route and have a consistent surface to where they're not constantly having to maintain it here? I'm not sure.
I mean, that's probably what it is, right? I mean, we're seeing it's just a lot easier to maintain.
But is that good for the players, especially with the injury issues that have been going on with this team?
Well, I mean, I think it's been a clear message from, you know, the PA surrounding the league, the Players Association. A lot of players have been really vocal about this, and they've been vocal about how they don't like it. And in that clip that is a lot longer, and we'll play more pieces of it, or I'll tweet it out or something. They talk about, oh no, we heard that, you know, MetLife's looking to change to turf as well. And, you know, the responses were negative. Will Compton, Taylor Lewan, Derrick Henry, all speaking about it before this report came out. So, you know, the players, I feel like, have made it clear, whether it's through social media. I don't think this is something that they're getting the players' input on. Cooper Kupp had a tweet a little bit earlier in the season. He got hurt this year. He was placed on IR. He tweeted something about, you know, we need to make this right, stop having turf fields, something along those lines. So it's very clear that it's a problem to them. I'm not going to act like I've played or know the difference between turf and a grass field at the level that they play at, because the NFL is, you only know what it's like if you're playing in the NFL. I'm not going to act like I know. Basically, what I'm just saying is, based off the reactions from the players on podcasts, on social media, Derrick Henry being one in this situation, it's not positive.
No, it's not.
So that's why, you know, a light bulb goes off. I raise a question of, why does this keep happening? Why do leagues keep changing to this? Because it's a business and it's easier to maintain.
They can definitely make more money by having field turf than it is to maintain a grass field. But, I mean, at the end of the day, especially in the colder months, I mean, you get tackled on a turf field in mid-December, in January, that hit is going to hurt exponentially worse when you're on a turf field, and it's just that thin little layer in between you and a concrete slab. That's all I got to say.
Coming up next, we will put a bow on things here today on Chase and Michelle. Taking your texts and your calls, 615-737-1025. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chase and Michelle, final segment of the day. We are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studio. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today, tomorrow, and you can hear Junie and I every Saturday, 9 to 11, same time. Nick Kieser also with us today. The big news of yesterday, today, and for a while now is Tom Brady announcing his retirement early yesterday morning on social media with a video of himself, very authentic, just talking to the camera saying, it's time, I'm done, basically. No long social media post like last year, but has announced his retirement for the second time. Now joins Rob Gronkowski, and Brett Favre has a couple more in there, but of announcing their retirements. Will Tom Brady play? Junie, what was your thoughts when you saw that on social media yesterday? I remember listening or watching the video, and I thought, yeah, I believe this. I do believe he won't play next year. I believe that we will hear chatter in the next couple of months of teams reaching out to him, trying to lure him back in to be a quarterback of their team. But I do think Tom Brady has enough awareness to know that he's 45 years old, that it's done for him. And if he wanted another Super Bowl, it would have to be the absolute perfect situation. But I think he does realize that he's not at the level that he used to be at.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, it shocked me when I saw that
he
retired.
Sure.
But, you know, when I sat and looked at it, and I said this earlier in the show as well, that he probably looked at his options. And he said, you know what? I had a really good year in 2021. I led the NFL in passing yards. You know, I led the team to the divisional round and barely lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion, and that's why he came back. Mm-hmm. But this Bucs roster, you know, they were running it back in 2021 with the exact same guys that they had won it with the year prior. This year, they didn't have those guys. No. He had a couple injuries on the offensive line, and that offensive line went from a top five unit to probably, you know, a bottom 10.
I don't even know how Ryan Jensen played in that game.
Oh, I don't know either. I mean, it was miraculous that he came back. He had a really good tweet to Brady about that, about how he pushed him and stuff like that, which is awesome. But, you know, I just think Tom looked at his options and he saw where he could go. He knows his age. He knows what kind of quarterback he is. He needs a really good offensive line. He's not going to go to a place without weapons. And when you look at the teams that are in a situation that they could potentially go to Brady, a la the Raiders, you know, the Titans, you know, the Jets don't have their offensive line in order. I mean, all of these teams were going to be a push for him to see if he could actually really have a good year, and especially going with a new team, new coordinator, like all these things. He probably just looked in the mirror and was like, you know what? It's better to go out. I made the playoffs. Sure, the playoff game didn't go the way we wanted, but it's done. It's over with. He has more Super Bowls than any other team in the league. Like, no other quarterback is going to scratch the surface of how many Super Bowls he's won.
Robbie brought this up to us the other day. I really hope you didn't hear it during the show. Who is the quarterback now with the most Super Bowl rings in the NFL?
I did hear this. It was Jimmy G.
Oh, you heard it. You heard it. It took us a minute. It took me a minute. And then when he said Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm like, oh, duh. Of course. Yeah. It took me a minute. Well, speaking of Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, Tom Brady was one domino to fall in, you know, the quarterback carousel of this offseason. Kyle Shanahan let us know his thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo and if he would be in San Francisco next year.
There's an area in which you guys could see Jimmy being back, and if so, what would that look like?
No, I don't see any scenario of that. Yeah, no, I gotcha.
Kyle Shanahan, not letting any room for imagination, says, nope, I don't see any scenario of Jimmy Garoppolo being back in San Francisco next year. So there's another guy, another veteran guy who will be on the move and be playing somewhere next year. He'll get a starting job somewhere. Him, Derek Carr, is another veteran guy who'll be on the move. Ian Rapoport came out earlier this week, or towards the end of last week, I think, and said that the Ravens are very likely and will franchise tag Lamar Jackson with that exclusive franchise tag. How do you feel about that, Junie?
Listen.
If I'm Lamar, I am just like, really?
It could be one or two things. It could be
I mean,
one
they
or,
have to.
Either they franchise tag him in hopes of trying to make it to where he can't talk to other teams and try to extend him that way. But the bottom line is the Cleveland Browns really screwed the Ravens? I mean, when they gave Deshaun Watson that absurd contract with $230 million guaranteed, Lamar's looking at that like, I've had more success than that guy. And number one, he's playing in my division. and I'm not causing the controversy that he's causing. I think that we should start there. And the Baltimore Ravens are not the Browns. They're not going to go out and go gung-ho and just throw all this money out to a quarterback that they don't 100% believe in. So I think it's going to be end up being a stalemate. I don't think he plays on the franchise tag, and I think he lets them know that. And if I'm the Ravens, I'm trading him and getting as much as I possibly can in return, because you just can't pay a quarterback that has a playoff record of 1-3 and has had a lot of help and has gotten injured the last 2 years and has cost your team playoff success.
I think it's a combination between Deshaun Watson's contract and also Kyler Murray's. Kyler Murray, a young guy who also got a huge contract last year, and Lamar's probably looking at that thinking, okay, I have won MVP and also made it to the playoffs, and now Kyler Murray tears an ACL, hasn't done anything with the Cardinals, and has been, I mean, that franchise just as a whole, obviously Kingsbury got fired and has been a disappointment.
Again, and what you said there was key. The difference is the organization. The Ravens are a really good organization, mm-hmm. and you look at the Browns and Cardinals, again, they're desperate. They want yep. whatever they can get to be somewhat relevant. And when you throw all this money to these guys, you know, that really wrecks your chance to win. The Browns aren't winning anything. The Cardinals aren't winning anything. And the Ravens know if they pay a bunch of money to a guy with, again, lack of playoff success and has been injured the last 2 years that cost you the playoffs last year and, you know, cost you a win in the playoffs this year. Because if Lamar would have played in that Cincinnati game, they probably would have won the way their defense played.
I mean, listen, I love Joe Burrow. I love watching that Cincinnati team, but the Ravens
in that game they deserved to win that game.
Cincinnati won off a freak play and the no Mark Andrews call. Somebody pushed him in the back and whatever. But they played better than Cincinnati in that game, and I agree with you. If Lamar did play, I think that they would be winning. A lot of moves, a lot of quarterbacks who don't know where they're going to be next year. Who will be the quarterback here? A lot of questions. Coming up next, Caroline Willie and D-Mace, they will continue the conversation surrounding the NFL and specifically the Tennessee Titans. This is Chase and Michelle, Junie Riddle in for Chase McCabe today and tomorrow on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.